This is the Dad Oregano Podcast. Listen to this podcast if you have the time. Welcome, everybody. This podcast is a podcast where we tell jokes, dad jokes, and funny things. But sometimes, let's talk about some bad dads. Good dads, smart dads, funny dads. For this episode, I'm going to talk about a horrible dad that led to the creation of the FBI. As you have seen, there's this movie coming out by Martin Scorsese called The Killers of the Flower Moon, and it is a controversial movie that is coming out, and it's about a cattleman who took advantage of some Native Americans and did some horrible, horrible things. The Osage Nation, sorry if I'm butchering the name, were victims of bribery, extortion, intimidation, and murder by this individual and his family. And this is a quick summary of this gentleman named, and he's not a gentleman by any means, just trying to be polite, William Hale, cattleman. William Hale, born 1874, he died in August of 1962 in Phoenix, Arizona. If you can believe it, he lived to be 87 years old. He was an American cattleman, a criminal, and he was very rich. Born in Texas, his mother died when he was 3, and he was reportedly to be uneducated and worked as a cowboy on the cattle trails from Texas through Indian territory to Kansas. He became a prominent figure living in the Osage Nation, then Oklahoma Territory. After settling there around 1900, by the 1920s, he owned a 5,000-acre ranch and made a fortune through questionable means. When Oklahoma gained statehood in 1907, the land occupied by the reservation became contiguous with contiguous with Osage County, Oklahoma. A power player and later a power player on the Osage Nation and later Osage County, Hale rose to local prominence through years of bribery, extortion, and intimidation. In 1921, he ordered the murders of his nephew's wife's sister and mother, followed by her cousin, another sister, and brother-in-law in a scheme to gain control of their head rights. He was convicted for the murder of Henry Rowan in October of 1929 and sentenced to life in prison. He was released on parole in 1947 and died in Arizona in 1962. His role in the killings is a major focus of David Grant's book, Killer of the Flower Moon, and he is played by Robert De Niro in the film adaptation of the book. You may have seen the trailer, has Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio. His early life. William Hale was born in Granville, Texas. They don't know which one. His mother died when he was 3, as I said, and he worked as a cowboy herding cattle from Texas through Indian Territory to Kansas. At the turn of the 20th century, he settled in Oklahoma Territory, now Osage County, Oklahoma. By 1900, his wife had joined him where they had lived in a tent and raised cattle. Shortly afterward, he moved to Gray Horse in Osage Town for better training. Hale was reportedly uneducated but amassed a fortune through insurance fraud and unfair trade with the native Osage people. Tom White, the FBI special agent in charge of investigating Hale, wrote in a 1932 memo to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, "Eventually Hale became a millionaire who dominated local politics and seemingly could not be punished for any of the many crimes. His method of building up power and prestige was by means a gift and favors. He proclaimed himself King of the Osage, owned and controlling interest of Fairfax Bank and a part of interest in the town general store and funeral home. He He also served as a reserve deputy sheriff in Fairfax. In addition, he owned a 5,000-acre ranch and leased another 45,000 acres from Osage landowners. The murders. Hale and his nephew Ernest and Byron Burkhart conspired to kill Osage people for their oil head rights. After Ernest married Molly Kyle, or Kyle, a native Osage, in May 1921, Hale hired Kelsey Morrison to kill Molly's sister, Anna Brown. Morrison later confessed to the murder, saying Hale had hired him to exchange for forgiving a $600 debt Morrison owed. Half of Anna's head rights were inherited by her mother, Lizzie Q, who died exactly 60 days later. Her other heir were Molly, Rita, and Grace. A cousin, Charles Whitehorn, was shot and killed a few weeks later. In March 1922, Anna Safford died under mysterious circumstances after marrying Tom McCoy. After Safford's death, McCoy married Hale's niece. In 1923, George Bighart was taken to Oklahoma City for treatment after drinking poisoned whiskey. Hale and Ernest took Bighart to the hospital where he asked to see his attorney, William Vaughn. Vaughn was killed on the railroad right-of-way outside of Pawhuska, Oklahoma. The next day, after consulting with Bighart, Bighart later died as well. In February 1923, another cousin, Heavy Roan, was found dead, shot in a car. Hale held a $25,000 insurance policy on Roan. Hale was later convicted for the murder of Roan. Hale later referred to Roan as a good friend and was a pallbearer at his funeral. In 1923, Rita Smith, her husband and housekeeper, were killed when the Smiths' home was bombed. Molly inherited Rita's head rights. Molly later suffered symptoms of poisoning. Molly fell ill, but later discovered that poisoning and recovered when she moved away. She divorced Ernest afterwards, and their children inherited Molly's estates. Investigations. Hal had considerable influence over the local Osage people. Sorry, I had to take a pause. This is just crazy. Hale had considerable influence over the local Osage prosecutor. During the election campaign, the prosecutor sought Hale's endorsement and, after receiving it, won every precinct from Hale's ranch. Hale used this connection to confer with local investigators during the initial investigation of Anna Brown's murder. After Henry Roan's body was discovered, Hale accompanied the deputy and marshal to the ravine it was discovered in to recover the body. Additionally, in 1921, Hale hired a private investigator to look into the murders. The investigator later revealed to federal agents that he was hired to manufacture evidence and witnesses to shape an alibi for Hale and his accomplishments and not solve the murders. A Bureau of Investigation, BOI, report eventually concluded the chief of Ponca City Police, chief of Fairfax County Police, Osage County Prosecutor, and local office of Indian Affairs agent were all under Hale's influence and would not be able to assist in the investigation. The Osage Nation Tribal Council requested the BOI investigate the murders. The Bureau sent undercover agents to investigate. Investigators initially had trouble finding witnesses, and Dick Gregg, a former member of the Al Spencer gang, being the only living witness, Gregg told investigators Hale had attempted to hire Al Spencer the Al Spencer gang to kill Bill and Rita Smith. But Spencer, the leader of the gang, had declined because killing a woman was not my style. Oh, geez, what an outstanding individual. Gregg pointed investigators to Al Spencer, Henry Graham, and Curly Johnson, as having more information, but the three men were already dead. Eventually, a safecracker associate with Grammer named the bomber as Asa Kirby, but before the agents could interview Kirby, they were shot in failed jewelry heist. Investigators believe Hale had tipped both Kirby off of a shipment of diamonds and the store owner off as a potential heist to orchestrate the killing. After this revelation, investors began to believe Hale was potentially murdering witnesses. With some accusations, he tampered with Grammer's car brakes and had poisoned Johnson. This dude was just awful. Eventually, Bert Lawson, a man serving a prison sentence in McAllister, came forward and testified he was instructed by Hale and Ernest Burkhart to plant the explosive device in Smith's home. Hale generated additional suspicion when he brought a suit to collect life insurance policy for Henry Roan. Hale had the life insurance policy in 1921, and after his first application had been denied, he reapplied in a second life insurance company with a note signing by Roan, certifying that Roan owned Hale $25,000 and was approved. When obtaining the required doctor's evaluation for the policy, Hale was asked by Dr. Bill, "What are you going to do, kill this Indian?" To which he responded, "Hell yeah." Oh my gosh, it's terrible. Agents were also tipped off when they realized the order and the methods of murders appeared to be done in a particular fashion to maximize Molly's inheritance. For example, Anna Brown was murdered first after their divorce to ensure that inheritance went to a family instead of their former partner, and Rita and Bill Smith were killed simultaneously in a bombing to trigger a simultaneous death clause in their will. These people. A warrant for Hale and Ernest's arrest were issued on January 4th, 1926, for the murders of Bill and Rita Smith. Ernest was apprehended immediately, but Hale could not be found. According to David Grant, Hale later turned himself in wearing a perfectly pressed suit, shoes shined to a gleam, a felt hat, and an overcoat with his diamond-studded Masonic lodge pin fastened to the lapel. Hale maintained his innocence, so federal agents focused on interrogating Ernest. He broke and turned state evidence after being confronted with outlaw Blackie Thompson, who had been in the state custody for murdering a police officer. Willing to testify, Ernest tried to hire him to do the killings. When confronted with Ernest's testimony, Hale maintained his innocence. The Department of Justice wanted Hale to be tried in federal court, fearing his potential influence over Oklahoma state courts. However, a federal judge ruled the killing, which took place on an unalienated allotment, fell under the jurisdiction of Oklahoma courts. Hale's legal counsel included former Attorney General of Oklahoma, Sergeant Prentiss Freeling. The case was moved to state court, and the first hearing was March 12th. According to David Grand, he recited a poem to his supporters in the court saying, "Judge not, the clouds of seeming guilt may dim my brother's fame. For fate may throw suspicion's shade upon the brightest name." Are you kidding me right now? While under trial, in 1926, Hale sold his ranch to the Drummond family and the Molidor's family. The ranch later was broken up and sold to smaller ranchers. Hale was tried alongside John Ramsey in July 1926 for the murder of Henry Roan in federal court. After the United States Supreme Court case, United States v. Ramsey, held that federal courts had jurisdiction in Guthrie, Oklahoma. By the time of their first trial, Ernest Burkhart had been sentenced to life imprisonment in Oklahoma courts. The jury began deliberation on August 20th, and 5 days later, Hale and Ramsey's first trial resulted in a hung jury. After the first trial, several witnesses were tried, indicted, and convicted for taking bribes and giving threatening testimony. Hale Ramsey's second trial was scheduled for late October. The trial was transferred to Oklahoma City. Ernest testified that Hale paid Ramsey a new Ford and $500 to kill Roan. Hale later denied the allegations, of course, and claimed to be in Fort Worth at a livestock show during the bombing at the Smith's house and that he had no reason to want Roan dead. Jury deliberations began October 28th, and the next morning the jury found them both guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced them to life in prison. Hale appealed and was retried. The case was retried in federal court in Guthrie, Oklahoma, but ended in a hung jury. The next trial in Oklahoma resulted in another guilty sentence, for this time, 99 years. Hale appeared in the United States Courts of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, and new trial was ordered. Hale was tried a final time in a federal court in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. Leavenworth. He was convicted in federal court in October 29, 1929, for the murder of Henry Roan and sent to Leavenworth Penitentiary in Kansas. The warden during his time was Tom White, the man who had headed the investigation for the Osage Indian murders. There, he worked in the tuberculosis ward and on a prison farm. During his sentence, he had never admitted to the murders, and a psychological evaluator noted he had put behind him any feeling of shame or repentance that he may have had. Of course he did. Hale was sentenced to life in prison, but was paroled on July 31st, 1947. He spent some of his life in Montana working on a ranch hand, and during a visit, Hale's relatives once remarked, "If that damn Ernest had kept his mouth shut, we'd be rich today." He moved to Phoenix around 1950 and died in a nursing home. He was buried in Wichita, Kansas. Wow. This man was an awful, awful, awful father. And this movie that's coming out, I can't wait to see it. This information I got from the Wikipedia page, so I'm not vouching for its 100% accuracy, but as a whole, this is a crazy, crazy story. I mean, this man basically took advantage of people to try to get rich, the evils of money. In the media, there's David Grant's book, Killers of the Flower Moon, and of course the movie that just came out. I can't wait to see it. Sounds like it's going to be a sad story. But, yeah, it's crazy stuff. Well, this is it for the Dad's Oregano podcast. If you like this podcast, please like and share it. I guess we'll get some feelers out there to see if people like to hear about these bad dads, good dads, funny dads. It's not all going to be heavy, but this one was pretty heavy, so I appreciate you listening. And that's the Dad Oregano podcast. Thank you for having the time.